This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Welcome everybody to the Safina Saidi Nothing But Facts live stream on a sunny, beautiful, beautiful Tuesday in the month of November, which means really like, are we even getting winter anymore? I don't think so. It's so weird. Hey, Tamur, what's your opinion on this? Are we getting winter or what? It's like so sunny. It feels like it's a spring day. You want to just go out and it, you know, it's just days, maybe a sweater. As we record, brought to you by GRT, Global Relief Trust, who we support and who supports young Palestinian medical students who had to stop their education and therefore not be able to help their people as they become doctors. And they go to Pakistan now. They're taking these Shabab over to Pakistan. And they're educating them there. They're finishing their education there in Bilad al-Hind. So it's a great initiative by Pakistan, who is Pakistani medical schools are foregoing a lot of tuition to do this. So they're doing their job. GRT's doing job. And we're doing our job, and you're doing your job by going to donate to GRT, even a pound. We've so far passed 110,000 GBPs, Great British Pounds. And let's put our kufi on here. Put the goofy on. And what is our agenda today? Well, obviously, there's two matters tangentially related to the deen. I mean, one of them is definitely the affairs of the Ummah, no doubt about it. Everyone is talking about the latest so-called policy violation. I mean, I think we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about this incident or this arrest or arrest warrant or whatever you want to call it of this Quran teacher and what he's done with a convert woman and her daughter. And what we're talking about here is a couple of important things is that these allegations were absolutely beyond disgusting. There's not even a debate about it. It's not like this is debatable. Of course, he has to face this is the government's, the FBI's accusation of him. I read half the files. I couldn't even read the rest of it because of how gross it was. But most people have read it, and they pretty much seem that they pretty much seem to be damning, I guess you can say. And I just ask a couple questions every time I see someone who does this to a student. Couldn't you do your sins with somebody else? You know, I really just wonder about this. It really makes me wonder. And it must be that, you know, that's too boring. So he wants to experiment with something else. But think about it. I mean, if I want to commit some sins, why would you loop in innocent people? Why would you loop in students of Quran? Why would you go that route? Why don't you go do your sins somewhere far, far away? The reason is shaitan, sins are, people are blinded. That's one of the reasons. Another theory going around is that the person himself was abused. So it's all mixed for them, right? Person himself did take courses with an abuser at some point in time, a convicted abuser. Of course, some people will say that's all conspiracy. We're not going to get into that. But it just makes you wonder, like, why would you do it? Why would you do it? Ruin another person's life? And it appears to be that this is like somebody, you know, from who is a convert. You duped a convert using the Quran. That's like, on top of that, that's like a second crime right there. And I asked my sheikh, I said, hypothetically, this happens. What do we do? A married man uses the Quran to lure other people into sexual deviance. I said, he thought for a while, and he said, yuqtal. Yuqtal. Because you're abusing kids. You're misusing the Quran. Execution by Sharia. That's what he said. That's what his opinion was. Our deen is not dependent on any single individual. And there's a big difference between caution and suspicion. Everybody should be cautious. You don't have to be suspicious. But everybody should be cautious. And you don't imagine perfection from anybody. And that's the beauty of our religion. We don't rely upon people. Of course, we rely upon people to transmit our religion for us, but not one single individual. The transmission of the religion is in mass. If a large swath of those people were to be highlight delete, you still have the transmission of the religion. And here's another thing. You can never trust your nafs or anyone else's nafs. Even if anybody asks me, okay, if anybody asks me, you know, do you trust your kids? I say, do my kids have a nafs? I don't even trust myself, right? I don't trust myself. Nobody should let their guard down with their nafs. So when you're talking to a woman or to a girl online, it is a location where intimate, inappropriate talk can occur, right? Yes or no? Answer is yes. Therefore, you can't really trust yourself with that. And some people say, how could we say that? Because we have a nafs. That's the philosophy in Islam, is as long as we have egos, as long as we have the self aspect of things, we have to be very cautious. We have to be very cautious of everything. Any kind of knowledge that doesn't refine our akhlaq, and our akhlaq is the first determiner of character, is the sacred law. That's the first thing. Sacred law is the first thing. I mean, if we're not observing that, then what is the point of all that knowledge? Right? What's the point of all that knowledge if we're not observing character and akhlaq? Okay. Secondly, there should be zero tolerance for the abuse of kids. If a Quran teacher or a scholar of sorts ended up committing zina, that's bad. That's terrible. He's especially using his status as a teacher to lure the students and do that. Of course, he's got to be eliminated from the community. But if he does that with a child and he destroys the innocence of a child by this deviance, that's a whole nother matter. Like, you're literally ruining someone's life. That's a whole nother matter. Okay, that's a whole nother matter. So that's what we have to talk about. And of course, I see here Lavon Brown, same Jonathan Brown said the same thing. He goes, hold up, it's an allegation. We need proof. Of course we do, yes. The affidavit does look damning, nonetheless. Of course, there's going to be a trial. 100% there's going to be a trial. And we'll see the result of it. But ultimately, khalas, yani. At the same time, if you were viciously smeared, wouldn't you be on the next live stream declaring your innocence? Omar, is that logical, right? So O.J. Simpson, why are you running away on a white Bronco? Of course, a lot of you guys are too young to know this, right? But wouldn't you be on the next live stream that you can get your hand on, next phone? Hey, everybody, I've been framed. I'm innocent. Where is your declaration of innocence? So that's also a factor. That's not going to be the factor, but it is a factor. And you wrote an article, not an article, but you put out a post. Is your mic on? No. Get your mic on. Yeah.
You put out a post, but I'm like very confident that
post.
It looks like it's for an AI run. Like it was like a. I mean, I can pull it up. I think on Facebook you posted like, you know, I'm very shocked at these allegations and I'm not like this and things like that. It actually does seem like it's written by AI. Like you can kind of tell.
I'm shocked by these allegations. I mean,
it was insufficient. Like it was very weak.
Your wife is the one who brought it forth allegedly. That's what the word is saying, right? So is your wife going to try to destroy her life and her marriage and her kids and everybody else? So, well, there'll be a child, but either way, in the court of public opinion has already pretty much made up its mind, right? Because of the evidence of all that stuff. Let's take a look at something else. Al Maghrib Institute. I'm not going in on them, and people have issues with them from the past. In the car. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, in the car. Yeah, it's in the car. I'm not going to go in on these guys. It's probably some 25-year-old wrote the first thing. Didn't really, never handled a situation like this before, so accidentally put this, you know, what is it called? Policy violation, which was like sort of almost a laughable expression. But they did clear it up. And listen, no, none of us assume this. So why should we assume that some person in the hiring committee of Al Maghrib Institute, so I'm not going to go in on all in on them. Was this something that happened in their platform? The guy has many platforms. The guy's speaking at ICNA. It was scheduled to speak at ICNA. Are we now going to go after ICNA now? Right? He was scheduled next month, this month actually. The guy is all over the place. Islam Channel. Look at Omar has got the screen open. Muslim Matters. Everyone use this guy. How are we supposed to know? We're not supposed to know any secrets of people. So I can't go out and try to smear an organization that put him on, not knowing what nobody else knew, right? Nobody else knew this stuff. And I met the guy once or twice, like 10 years ago. All right, so Shay Ajib. It's just goes to show you that Shaitan works extra hard on people, and sometimes maybe some people help him, right? Some people maybe, you know, they have this capacity in them, and maybe it was also, as we said earlier, many people hypothesize maybe the person himself was abused. That doesn't take away any blame, but it does explain a lot. And we know that there was an institution in Chicago where someone was arrested. The headmaster there was arrested and pled guilty. Am I mistaken on that, Omar? Do I have the facts right on that? Type pled guilty. What person would ever plead guilty to something like this? And I'm we can get the exact, don't quote me on that until you get the exact. What was the plea on that? Okay, all right, I'm not going to mention a name. I'm just going to say an Elgin. Accused. What was it? What was the result? Move this stupid paywall out of the. Okay. That's. Oh, jeez, this stupid paywall. Go to another. Go to another website then. Because I would never. Yeah, he pleaded guilty. So he pleaded guilty. Pleaded guilty of molestation. Listen, you know, my sheikh said to me something else. He said, it's a joke, basically. He said that a man came to his sheikh and he said, Sheikh, help me make tawbah. I repented. I committed zina. And now the woman I committed zina with is pregnant. He said, okay, you committed zina. Why would you get someone pregnant? Why wouldn't you at least avoid that part of it? He said, because I heard pulling out is makruh. He said that pulling out is makruh, but the zina part you left, you're okay with that. So that's what I'm saying. What innocent person would plead guilty? No, I will just stand innocent until death if I'm truly innocent. Isn't that the psychology of most people? So if you got one person guilty of abuse and involved with kids and stupid enough to keep it on his phone and to be involved virtually with this, right? Where there's a record, there can be screenshots, etc. I mean, subhanAllah, as when someone bookman omyun, as Allah says about the heart when it deviates, you do really stupid things. So the person studied under somebody who was guilty of this stuff. Now they do the same thing, right? And if, it's important to know, okay, a person going to do this, we're going to be very cautious on who we allow around in our kids, and you're not going to know anyone's background, so you're going to assume or you're going to hold that any kind of interaction between people, it needs to be fully transparent, like a, you know, like a Bitcoin transaction. It needs to be fully transparent. In our musalla, in the back room, we got like a camera, two, three cameras. Okay. Any type of virtual should have TAs in it. It should be there. It should be recorded. And there should be no kind of private virtual meetings. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there needs to be something else, which is Allah's watching us. Where is that? Like all the technology in the world, all the supervision in the world, it's not going to stop. It's not, if you're not going to benefit from it if you don't have that part inside your heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching me. Ibn Qayyim said it beautifully. The moment it actually enters your heart that Allah is watching me, your actual desires cool off, right? And that is it's so true. No matter how inflamed the person's desire is, the moment I discover the neighbor's watching me, my heart would cool off. Your desires would cool off. Okay? SubhanAllah. The mother is in jail on bond of $2 million, which she's not going to pay. And the mother, her mugshot went around, and it looks like, astaghfirullah al-azim to say this about somebody, but it looks like it really just took advantage of a crackhead, basically. I hate to say that, but that's really what it looks like. Because if you're thinking, what kind of mother would do this? Probably a mother herself has been used and abused, and that's what it looks like, right? So there's nothing much to say. I mean, people wanted to talk about it, but what else is there to say? Omar, do you have anything else?
About mm-hmm. him saying these strange things. Also, there are people that I know personally that used to study with him, and they would say like he had a very bad personality. He would like yell at the kids, and like he was mentally not okay, pretty much. So I think like it's not unexpected for something crazy to happen from this guy. Like he has a clear track record of doing some insane things.
SubhanAllah.
This is the importance of like being attentive and. Like, you can have husn al-dhan of someone, but at the same time, you can be a very analytical person and
well, you their moves. You have husn al-dhan about the person, and you have caution in how you behave. Husn al-dhan, having a good opinion of someone, never means that I have to give you and entrust you with my property or my family or whatever. That's it. That's it. And second piece of news today is obviously the elections, which we have really nothing to say about them now. You want to play a game of, you know, guessing how it's going to happen. That stuff is always sort of, you know, meaningless. But you want to know my opinion, Omar? My opinion is that Trump has more support this time around than in 2016. Hillary had more support than Harris. Institutional support. I mean, the newspapers, most of them, wouldn't even endorse anybody. You know that? They didn't endorse Harris. It was a clean sweep endorsement of Clinton last time. You went into that election and it was like Clinton's got the edge. That's what was the feeling in the air. You don't have, this time it's the opposite. Trump's support and his base are far more, they're open about it. It's almost like not so, it was 100% socially outcast if you support Trump. People secretly supported Trump in 2016. Now it's not the case. You just go on any social media and people are openly supporting Trump. So that's one, that's a factor. The second factor is who had more support in 2016, Hillary or Kamala today? Hillary, for sure. And yet still Trump won that one. The 2021, though, was slightly different because Trump had sort of exhausted everybody and really dropped the ball on Corona and just made up all sorts of, he's totally dropped the ball on that. And that's probably what cost him. And he didn't go in with a lot of momentum. He went in, he had to govern and campaign at the same time. This time around, full campaign, no governing. And that's for those reasons, my estimation will be a landslide victory for Trump. Just a guess. Or just an estimation, really. Can't really tell. Nobody ever knows anything, but just my thoughts on it. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Tafsir al-Quran, which we haven't read in a while. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surat. We read Mumtahina, right? And we now start Al-Hashr. We finished Mumtahina, didn't we? All right, let's read it again. If we realize that we read it, we'll just go to Hashr, because I can't remember whether we finished Mumtahina or we're starting Mumtahina. A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, why do you take my enemies, la tattakhidhu aduwwi wa aduwwakum awliya. Don't take my enemies and your enemies as allies. Allies, people you rely upon, people you seeking their help and support. So akhbarana, of course, we're reading from Al-Baghawi, he gives us the whole sanad. Sami'tu Aliyan radiallahu anhu yaqul, he narrates with the sanad, and that ends in Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib saying, ba'athani Rasulullah ana wa Zubayr wal Miqdad faqal intariqu hatta. Oh, we read this, right? Yeah, we read this. We did read Surah Al-Mumtahina. So let's go to Al-Hashr. سورة الحشر مدنية وهي 24 آية. سورة الحشر is a Medinan surah revealed in Medina after the Hijrah. By the way, Madani means after the Hijrah, because it could not be in Medina. It could be listed as Madani, but it's after the Hijrah, the Prophet went to different places, of course. He didn't stay in Medina for the whole 10 years. He traveled, and revelation was revealed while traveling. So therefore, Madani means after the Hijrah. Hijrah is the migration of the Prophet, peace be upon him. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. You see this verse of tasbih. This surah opens with a tasbih, which is when we say the word sabbaha, we mean that we declare Allah to be, and our belief to be, free from all defects. That's the meaning of tasbih. So it is tanzihullahi amma la yanbaghi wa la yaliqu bijalalihi. It is to clean our beliefs from everything that is not appropriate for Allah. The previous scriptures, they were corrupted, and the previous religions ended up believing things that are not appropriate for Allah, such as that God was stingy with the Jews. Or so what does Allah say? No, غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَلُعِنُوا غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا بَلْ يَدَهُمْ مَبْسُوطَتَانِ يُنْفِقُمْ كَيْفَ يَشَاءُ. They said, God's stingy with us. You're saying God's stingy? What does Allah say? All right, you're cursed. What's the curse? Everyone will call you stingy now. Okay? So that's the curse. Secondly, of course, the Christians said God had a son. And they said that God's three in one, three essences in one essence. قال المفسرون. And by the way, the Zabur of Sayyidina Dawood, he was given a book. And the Hebrew prophets were given, each Hebrew prophet was given a book. And that book was added to the Torah. So the first five books were given to Moses. Then many books after that were from different prophets. And that's why the Bible's so big. The first five is the Torah given to Moses. Then different prophets had a book. It was added to this book. Okay. Hey, Omar, check your email, will you? Check your email and add that. Then keep it up the whole time. Okay. our friend telling me that the arrest of this fellow has occurred. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Interesting. All right. So, the Zabur of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam is, add some white, just put a white background there. No, shrink it and put a white background. Yeah, that's good. Now put a white background yourself. Put a white background so it doesn't look, yeah. You want to put it like that, that's fine, but make it a little bit bigger. So it's legible to everybody. That's fine too. Yakfi. Good enough. Okay, listen up. Az-Zabur to Dawood alayhi salam is all tasbih. It's all tasbih. And dua. And dhikr. The Torah is law. The Suhuf of Ibrahim is tawheed. The gospel or the Injil revealed to the prophet Isa ibn Maryam it's all mercy and wisdoms. Okay? That's the difference the ulama say. The Prophet ﷺ told us that those are the natures of the books, the different holy books. So the Quran combines all of these. It has tasbih, it has law, it has tawheed, it has stories, it has mercy and wisdom. So the Mufassirun say, the exegetes or commentators of the Quran say, نَزَلَتْ هَذِهِ السُّورَ فِي بَنِي النَّضِيرُ. This surah was revealed specifically about one of the Jewish tribes called Bani Nadir. وذلك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دخل المدينة فصالحه بنو النضير على أن لا يقاتلوا ولا يقاتلوا معه. So the Bani Nadir and the Prophet ﷺ had a deal when the Prophet arrived in Medina. I love listening at how the Prophet made deals because he is the, not only is he the most intelligent of creation, Sayyid al-Kawnayn alayhi salatu wasalam is also guided by revelation. So we get to see what his deals are, what the deals look like. The deal with the Bani Nadir is, you will not fight us, and you will not fight with us. So you don't have to fight our fights, but also don't fight us. That was the deal with the Bani Nadir. Yep. فَقَبِلَ ذَلِكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْهُمْ. He accepted that from them. Why would they fight his fight? They don't believe in Islam. But at the same time, I'm your ruler now, so don't fight us. Now, when the Prophet ﷺ fought the battle of Badr and he defeated the pagans in the battle of Badr, the Banu Nadir were not happy. They were rooting against the Prophet, peace be upon him, rooting against the Muslims. Okay. They said, Wallahi innahu nabiyya alladhi wajadna na'tahu fit Torah. Okay. We will, wala turaddu lahu raya. They said, by Allah, this is exactly what the Torah says. He will win, right? He will not be defeated. فَلَمَّا غَزَ أُحُدَ وَهُزِمَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ اِرْتَابُوا وَأَظْهَرُوا الْعَدَاوَ لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Once the Battle of Uhud came and the Muslims suffered great losses, right? They suffered great losses. Now they took advantage of that and they openly spoke about their animosity to the Prophet, peace be upon him. وَنَقَضُ الْعَهْدِ الَّذِي كَانَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. They broke their oath with Sayyid al-Kawnayn. They broke their oath with the Prophet, peace be upon him. How did they break the oath? وَرَكِبَ كَعْبْ إِبْنِ الْأَشْرَفِ في أربعين راكبا من اليهود إلى مكة فأتوا قريشا فحالفوهم وعاقدوهم على أن تكون كلمتهم واحدة على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. كعب بن الأشرف, who had a Jewish mother and a pagan father, he was close to Bani Nadir. They rode to Mecca and they instigated, they cooked, they did their work. You see, they're always instigating, they're always cooking up stuff. And they cooked up stuff against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, let's work with the pagans of Mecca. We'll work with you. Okay? You and your mischief. Again. All right? Doing your thing. So they worked up mischief against the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَدَخَلَ أَبُو سُفْيَانَ فِي أَرْبَعِينَ They came with 40 people, and Abu Sufyan entered in on them to have to make a deal. All right? And this was at the Kaaba. Okay? Before, of course, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in Medina, and he has no control over the Kaaba. For those who are still learning the Sirah, or the history of the Prophet, peace be upon him. So they began to take an oath with each other upon the holding on to the cloth, the kiswa of the cloth of the Kaaba is called a kiswa, holding on to that. And then Kaab went back to Medina, and Jibril alayhi salam informed the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam bima ta'aqada alayhi Kaab wa Abu Sufyan. فَأَمَرَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِقَتْلِ كَعْبٍ. So the Prophet ﷺ then commanded Ka'b to be executed. Muhammad ibn Maslama, who is mentioned in the seerah as such a loyal servant, and he was loyal to Abu Bakr and loyal to Umar, he killed him. He killed Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اطلع منهم على خيانة حين أتاهم يستعينهم في دية المسلمين الذين قتلهما عمرو بن أمية. Okay. فهموا بطرح حجر عليه. So there was another incident in which there was some blood money and some meetings that were needed to take place. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم went to have these meetings with the Jews of Medina. And Jibreel alayhi salam informed him, O messenger, they're about trying to kill you by throwing a rock from the rooftop to crush your head. Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam immediately put his shawl down, got up. Everyone thought, oh, he's just going to get something, or he came back with an army and removed them. Yeah. فَلَمَا قُتِلَ كَعْبُ بْنُ الْأَشْرَفِ أَصْبَحَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The Prophet ﷺ next day, أَمَّرَ النَّاسِ بِالْمَسِيرِ إِلَى بَنِي نَضِيرِ. He commanded everyone to get up and go to Bani Nadir. وَكَانُوا بِقَرْيَةٍ يُقَالُ لَهَا زَهْرَةٍ. فَلَمَّا سَارَ إِلَيْهِمْ, they were in a place called Zahra. So the Muslim army went. They went as an army. وَجَدَهُمْ يَنُوحُونَ عَلَى كَعْبِ بِنِ الْأَشْرَفِ. He found them mourning Ka'b ibn al-Ashraf. فَقَالُوا يَا مُحَمَّدْ وعيه على أثر وعيه وباكيه على أثر باكيه. قال نعم. قالوا ذرنا نبكي شجونا ثم تمر أمرك. They said, let us mourn. The Prophet ﷺ said, leave Medina now. فقالوا الموت أقرب إلينا من ذلك. We'll die instead of leaving Medina. فتنادوا بالحرب وآذنوا بالقتال. So they said, okay, it's war. Right? ودس المنافقون عبد الله بن أبي بن سلول وأصحابه. Okay, لا تخرجوا من الحصن. So now there are hypocrites. This is the real sign of a hypocrite. Okay, people in the chat, don't get into these aqidah disputes. We're not doing it. We're not doing aqidah dramas anymore. خلاص, we've said what we've said about aqidah. You all know what we believe. You can go back and look at the videos. We stand upon it 1,000%, but we're not going to have this. We're not going to go into this every 2 seconds, right? We're not going into this. It's not the wise course of action, okay? Okay. All right, so now the hypocrites, what do? They went to the Jews, to the Bani Nadir, and they told them, no, don't leave. You're not going to win this. Okay. فَإِنْ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فَنَحْنُ مَعَكُمْ. They said, if the Muslims fight you, we're with you. وَلَا نَخْذُلْكُمْ وَلَا نَنْصُرَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِنْ أُخْرِجْتُمْ لَنَخْرُجَنَّ مَعَكُمْ. And if you're expelled, we'll leave with you. We'll support you. We're with you 110%. Okay. We're with you. فَدَرَبُوا عَلَى الْأَزِقَّةِ وَحَصَنُوهَا. So they locked up all their doors and they barricaded themselves in. ثُمَّ إِنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعُوا عَلَى الْغَدْرِ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَأَرْسَلُوا إِلَيْهِ أَنْ اِخْرُجْ فِي 30 رَجُلًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِكَ وَلَا يَخْرُجَنَّ مِنَّا 30 حَتَّى نَلْتَقِي بِمَكَانٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكَ. So let's fight 30 versus 30. You bring 30 and we bring 30 men. And let's pick a location and we'll fight. فَيَسْتَمِعُوا مِنْكَ فَإِنْ صَدَقُوكَ وَآمَنُوا بِكَ آمَنَّا كُلُّنَا. Okay, so no, this is not a fight. This is to talk. They want to talk first. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed to that. Okay. They agreed. 30 and 30. We'll talk. كَانُوا فِي بَرَادٍ مِنْ كَيْفَ تَخْلَصُونَ إِلَيْهِ وَمَعَهُ 30 رَجُلًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِهِ كُلُّهُمْ يُحِبُّ أَنْ يَمُوتَ قَبْلَهُ فَأَرْسَلُوا إِلَيْهِ كَيْفَ نَفْهَمُ وَنَحْنُ 60 رَجُلًا أَخْرِجْ فِي 3 مِنْ أَصْحَابِكَ وَنَخْرُجْ إِلَيْكَ فِي 3 مِنْ عُلَمَائِنَا فَيَسْتَمِعُوا مِنْكَ فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِكَ آمَنَّا كُلُّنَا. Okay, so now they said, you know, that's too much. Actually, 3 and 3. Okay, fine. The Prophet agreed. 3 and 3 only. وَخَرَجَ 3 مِنَ الْيَهُودِ. Which, and they said, whatever these three decide, the whole tribe will do. اشتملوا على الخناجر وأرادوا الفتك برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. However, they had daggers. Okay, they had daggers. فأرسلت امرأة ناصحة من بني النضير إلى أخيها وهو رجل مسلم من الأنصار فأخبرته بما أراد بنو النضير من الغدري. So a woman there, her brother was a Muslim, so she informed him, by the way, this is a trap. They're not there to talk. They don't want to talk. So first they said, send 30 and 30 and have a meeting. Then they said, no, that's too many. 3 and 3. And whatever the outcome of the meeting is, the whole tribe will accept. But the plan was to stab the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and kill him. So they had snuck daggers with them. Immediately that brother, that Muslim, went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he informed him. Before the Prophet arrived at the location. So the Prophet returned, he didn't go. فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنْ غَدِي غَدَى عَلَيْهِمْ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بِالْكِتَائِبِ فَحَاصَرَهُمْ 21 لَيْلَةً. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there's no more talking with these people. And they went with the army and surrounded them for 21 nights. 21 nights. فَقَذَفَ اللَّهُ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ الرُّعْبِ. They began to be afraid. وَأَيَسُوا مِنْ نَصْرِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ. And then they realized the hypocrites can't help them anymore. فسألوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الصلح. So they said, okay, let's make a deal. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, no, there's no deal. Leave. فأبى عليهم إلا أن يخرجوا من المدينة على ما يأمرهم به. You leave with the conditions the Prophet sets. And they accepted that. فقبلوا ذلك. فصالحهم على الجلاء وعلى أن لهم ما أقلت الإبل من أموالهم إلى إلا الحقل وهي السلاح. You can take whatever your camels can carry except weaponry, no weaponry. وعلى أن يخلو لهم ديارهم وعقارهم وسائر أموالهم. If you can't fit on your camels, you leave it. So your whatever money you can't put on top of camels, you have to leave it. قال ابن عباس على أن يحمل كل أهل 3 أبيات على بعير ما شاء من متاعهم هو لنبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما بقي. Ibn Abbas clarifies and he says every 3 people أهل 3 أبيات, every 3 households 1 camel. Every 3 households you get to load 1 camel. That's it. So however many households, divide that by 3, and that's the amount of camels you could take out. If you can't carry it, if your camel can't carry the load, you leave it here. And then Dahak says something else. He says, no, 3 people. Every 3 people, 1 camel. Not 3 households, 3 people, 1 camel. Okay. فَفَعَلُوا وَخَرَجُوا مِنَ الْمَدِينَةِ إِلَى الشَّامِ إِلَى أَذْرُعَاتٍ وَأَرْحِيَ وَإِلَى أَهْلِ بيتين منهم آل أبي الحقيق وآل حيي بن أخطب فإنهم لحقوا بخيبر. So some of them went to Khaybar and some of them went to Syria. ولحقت طائفة منهم بالحيرة. So again, it's the same thing. It's concern with them It's just they're concerned with themselves, even if it means betraying the city that you're in. And amazingly, those three promises of Solomon, the three oaths of Solomon that's in the Bible, state that, number one, the Jews, their punishment for their paganism that they fell into in the time of Solomon is that three things are going to happen. You're going to lose your country, and you're going to be wandering around the world as you're going to be wandering as what's the word? What's the word for that, Omar? You're going to be roaming. You're going to be, what's the word for that? No, in English. I hate when there's a word on the tip of your tongue. Yeah, as a diaspora, that's the word. Okay, so the three oaths of Solomon state that as punishment for your deeds, for your paganism, for all your mischief, is that, number one, you will be a diaspora. You will lose your state. You will not have a country anymore. You will be roaming around living amongst the people of the earth, of the different nations. That's number one. And you can't come back and try to make a state. They can come back as one individual or a family or a small group without the intent of making a state. You're going to be in exile. Exile. Okay? That's number one. So exile is written upon you. Number two, if you live peacefully there and you respect those people and you respect their laws and you don't cause mischief, right, you'll be fine. Everything will be fine. But the moment that you do, those people will torture you. And is that not what their history has shown? Well, they go into a city, they usually just go live in a corner. Nobody has a problem. We don't have issues. But now once you start losing your way and not following your own book anymore, and now you're undermining and you're money lending and you're sucking their economy, and now you're causing problems for these people, and all you care about is your own little community to the expense of these other people or at the expense of these other people, yeah, these people are going to turn on you. And that's exactly what happened. Prophet ﷺ said, you can live amongst us. You have one community. You have one condition. Don't fight us, right? Don't undermine. What did they do? They undermined. They fought. They had no loyalty for the land that for the government that gave them this deal. فذلك قوله عز وجل هو الذي أخرج الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب من ديارهم لأول الحشر. Okay, so he is the one. It says here, he is the one. Allah is the one who removed them. How? It was in their heart. They spit it out. The treachery that they have in them. Okay. التي كانت بيثرب قال ابن إسحاق كان إجلاء بني النضير بعد مرجع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من أحد وفتح قريظة عند مرجعه من الأحزاب وبينهما سنتان. So the Bani Nadir, there are three Jewish tribes in Medina. Bani Nadir were removed after Uhud. Bani قريظة after Ahzab. Uhud is a mountain in Medina. It's one of the names of the battles that the Prophet ﷺ fought. Ahzab is a big battle that actually, there wasn't a lot of fighting, but the Muslims were surrounded by 30,000 of the enemy. All the different tribes participated in removing and eliminating the Muslims, kill all the Muslims. But the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba, they had dug a trench. And as a result of that, nobody could get out. Nobody could get into the city. But the one section where they could enter from was the Bani Qurayza. And these, they were convinced to go to open the doors for the enemy to come into the city and kill all the Muslims. So what did they do? They betrayed. And they were all executed after that. Because they had agreed basically to try to kill all the Muslims by opening the door. Right, of their part of town. The trench didn't reach their part of town. So they lived in a corner. They said, okay, we'll come around, we'll open the door for you guys. You guys are coming to kill all the Muslims. So they were all executed. And the Bani Qaynuqa, which was another Jewish tribe, they were removed, and they betrayed the Prophet, peace be upon him, after the Battle of Badr, earlier on than these two. Okay. So, your Prophet kicked us all out of Medina. Okay, but you're not some innocent lambs, right? Always look at the second half of the story, not the first half. They say, don't blame someone who shows up to you with a black eye, right? Another person may show up with two black eyes. Yeah, you started it, okay? Of course, this is anti-Semitic truths here. Some truths are anti-Semitic, I guess. What can you say? قال ابن عباس من شك أن المحشر بالشام فليقرأ هذه الآية فكان هذا أول حشر إلى الشام. So لأول الحشر, the first حشر, their first, removal is to Syria. They went to Syria. قال لهم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم خروجوا. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, leave. قالوا إلى أين؟ قال إلى أرض المحشر. So he says here, to the place where people will be resurrected. ثم يحشر الخلق يوم القيامة إلى الشام. So therefore, the Prophet, peace be upon him, is saying that on the Day of Judgment, the place, the location where all people will eventually gather, the center point will be Sham. Sham is a very special area of land on the earth. And although on the Day of Judgment, the whole earth will be different, will be transformed, يوم تبدل الأرض غير الأرض. So it will be the earth, but it will be so different. But the headquarter, the main area where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the hashr will occur, is Sham. Sham is Syria, Jerusalem, all that area. It consists today of four nation states: Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, Israel. وقال الكلبي إنما قال لأول الحشر لأنهم كانوا أول من أجلي من أهل الكتاب من جزيرة العرب ثم أجلى أو أجلى آخرهم عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه. Is that the Bani Nadir were the first to leave the whole peninsula of Arabs, because the Bani Qaynuqa didn't leave the peninsula of Arabs. They left Medina, but not, they were removed from Medina, but not the whole peninsula. قال مر الهمداني كان أول الحشر من المدينة والحشر الثاني من خيبر وجميع جزيرة العرب إلى أذرعات وأريحاء من الشام في أيام عمر. So first they were removed from Medina, then they lived in Khaybar for a while, then they were removed from Khaybar, and then Umar removed all of them from all of the peninsula. كان هذا أول الحشر والحشر الثاني نار تحشرهم من المشرق إلى المغرب تبيت معهم حيث باتوا وتقيل معهم حيث قالوا. ما ظننتم, the believers did not imagine that they would ever leave Medina. Okay, because they were powerful. لعزتهم and ومنعتهم, they had fortresses, they had wealth. وذلك أنهم كانوا أهل حصون وعقار ونخيل, they had land, they had orchards, they had dates to buy and sell with. They had fortresses. وظنوا أنهم مانعتهم حصونهم من الله. And they also thought that their strength is so much. Their strength is so powerful. حصون, that's like lobbies today. It's like no one cares about having a fortress. Today it's lobbies. It's influence with the media. It's owning newspapers. It's all that stuff. That's what they have today. Okay. وظن بنو النضير أن حصونهم تمنعهم من سلطان الله. They thought that they're protected from even from the power of God. فأتاهم الله من حيث لا يحتسبوا. Allah Ta'ala came to them, meaning brought his affair to them, brought his justice to them, brought his punishment of them from where they didn't expect. Okay. Meaning that they did not expect their prophet to be informed of all their tricks and their plots. قال الزهري وذلك أن the Tabi'i الزهري ذلك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لما صالحهم على أن لهم ما أقلت الإبل كانوا ينظرون إلى الخشب في منازلهم فيهدمونها وينزعون منها ما يستحسنونه فيحملونه على إبلهم ويخرب المؤمنون باقيها. So what does it mean? They destroy their homes with their hands and with the hands of the believers. In other words, that could be in meaning. They destroyed their own life in Medina. And the believers came as an army to threaten them. But also physically, they would take the good pieces of wood from their homes and take it with them. So, and then the believers came and you got a home with half a pillar. You can't live on that. So they just demolished the whole home and built from scratch. قال ابن زيد كانوا يقلعون العمود. They would actually remove the pillars because they were good pieces of wood and they would take them with them. وينقضون السقوف. And therefore the roof would collapse in. And also people, they have this attitude and you're taking over their home. They don't want you to enjoy it. So they'll destroy it. You know, that's how Napoleon got totally messed up. Because he made a deal with the Russians, whoever the Tsar was at that time, whoever the king was, Nicholas or something, to together they would attack somebody, can't remember who, and he betrayed him. The Russian Tsar betrayed Napoleon. And then Napoleon, of course, can't accept that, had to go attack him. When he got to St. Petersburg, which was the capital at that time, the Tsar had left and burnt it all to the ground. He burnt it all to the ground so that Napoleon, you know, wouldn't enjoy it, wouldn't be able to say that he took over Russia. Then Napoleon became so enraged that he went after them. Okay? He chased after them. But that took him into the middle of Russia, and it was winter, and he lost tens upon hundreds, possibly thousands of troops, all because of the winter in Russia. They couldn't bear it, and when he came back, he just had to resign right away. You can't be responsible for that many losses. Okay, Omar's making the thumbnail. All right, don't give me a haircut, Omar, this time around, because these other thumbnails, I keep, not yours, but some of the other ones, I keep getting these haircuts. No, I need hair. I know, it blends in with the back, but, okay. Anyway, let's get back to the tafsir. They did this, so, يُخْرُجُونَ لَأَلَّا يَسْكُنَهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَسَدًا مِّنْهُمْ وَبُغْضًا. They hated the idea of the believers living in their home, so they just burnt the whole thing down. Burn it all down. Qatada says, كان المسلمون يخربون ما يليها من ظاهرها ويخربها اليهود من داخلها. So they had to, the believers had to demolish these houses anyway. كلما ظهر المسلمون على دار من دورهم هدموها لتتسع لهم المقاتل وجعل أعداء الله ينقبون دورهم في أدبارها فيخرجون إلى التي بعدها فَيَتَحَصَّنُونَ فِيهَا. Okay. All right, let's stop here from the tafsir. MashaAllah. No qalam to leave a bookmark. Oh, here's the qalam. And we will leave a mark right here where we left off. All right. As we usually do on the first day of the stream, we give a little bit more of Q&A.
Someone's asking, I saw the Starboard website. I don't know about America's condition, but being from the subcontinent, the price is too much, and religious guidance should not be costly more than necessary.
I don't know. Maybe talk to the people. Go leave them an email. There's a little button at the bottom. You can give them an email. Maybe they'll give you a deal, but I don't know, because it's not really meant to be for the subcontinent. The mentors are here in America, so they're going to be considering the U.S. context. And so, and it's not just religious content, it's worldly. worldly mentorship, in worldly life, there are other things that are not necessarily Sharia here. And the issue is that, and the household is like a factory. It's where our children are produced. Okay? It's where the next generation of humans are produced. These factories got to be set right. Factories got to be, you know, it's got to be set right. And that takes mentors, takes knowledge. And that's the whole idea behind Starboard. It takes knowledge. It's not some kind of easy thing to do. It's going to take knowledge to do this. So we need a lot of people to start studying. Just like you study any subject. You study surgery. You study medicine. You study all these subjects. Okay? You need to study this. So are the Jews in the West actually Bani Israel? Well, at least they're attributing themselves to them. That's maybe they're not by blood. They're probably Khazarian, as some people say. But at least they're attributing themselves to that. And they've absorbed the ethos of that religion. Is there a cure for schizophrenia? We treat mental illness and believe in Islam that mental illness can be physical too. It's not just jinn. It's not just these bad things, but hey, Omar, can you lift this image up a little bit? Yeah, because it's good, but I want to slouch a little bit. I don't want to slouch too low. There you go. That's perfect. Good. Perfect. What is the ruling on horror movies? I don't know if there's a ruling on it, but I think those things are connected in some way, shape, and form with, some kind of devilish approach to, I'm not a fan of these things, but I can't say that there's a ruling per se. How do we balance judging, condemning someone versus giving husnad dhan? All right, I answered that, but to go back to the horror one, what I have heard is that this screaming and this, it's not beloved to angels and it is beloved to demons. Screaming, startling, all that, to these types of, I can't say there's a ruling per se, but that I know of that has any certainty. It's all speculative ruling. But I do know that some ulama, they really dislike these things. Should we vote on ballot amendments? There's always the two sayings on voting. The first saying is that it's the lesser of two evils. And the second is that if it's something that the Sharia would be accepting of, vote for it. Like that. Yeah. And so that's usually how it's approached. Here's another question for you. They say you Muslims need to support everyone's rights because you enjoy the same rights. Right? That's the argument. So you need to support everyone else's rights since you enjoy these rights and freedoms. And the answer to that is that, hold on, but what if those rights contradict the Sharia? They say, well, then you're being a hypocrite because you want those rights for yourself, but you don't want them for others, right? I want the right to practice my religion in public, but I don't want other things in public. So that's hypocrisy. I said, okay, hypocrisy with whom? Hypocrisy within a man-made context? All right, let's hypothetically say, okay, I'm politically hypocritical. I want for myself something that I don't want for others because that's what the Sharia says. That's what my religion says. So what's my punishment then? What's my loss? That's my question. If I practice such a standard, I'm not double standard. I'm one standard, which is the Sharia. That's my standard. Islam is my standard. So it happens to appear as a double standard or in practice with the secular system. Okay, fine. What are my losses? What am I going to suffer? Hypocrisy is terrible, right? When you're dealing with God, hypocrisy is terrible when you're preaching something and doing the opposite. But hypocrisy, it's almost meaningless to me when it's your standard accepts something from a secular standard and rejects other things from the secular standard. I don't need to be consistent with that secular standard. And that's what the so-called liberal Muslims, that's what they do. They care more about that second standard. They want to be consistent with the secular standard, even if it means being inconsistent with God. When you die, where are you going to go? When you need help, who's going to help you? Where is the power? The power is not with the secular system. The power is with the Creator. And that's why if I'm given a choice, I'm going to side with the Creator every single time. That's where real power lies in the world. We're being tested here. We're being doubly tested here. Besides the regular tests of life, we specifically have another test. We have to live with this system and this structure of rules and this belief system amongst a people who have another system. So I'm not allowed to undermine and do harm, but I don't have to be consistent with that other system. Fine, I'm not consistent with the secular, liberal, democratic system. Fine, what are you going to do about it? Is it a crime? Am I criminal? No, I think you're inconsistent. I'm actually not a double standard. I'm one standard, but that one standard doesn't align perfectly with the man-made standard. So I'm going to support whatever my standard supports, Islam supports, and I'm not going to support whatever Islam doesn't support, and I'm going to condemn whatever Islam condemns. Even if that system agrees with all of it or disagrees with all of it. To be consistent in the eyes of a liberal order that we're living in is not my goal. Should not be the goal of any Muslim. We don't undermine. We don't cause harm. But we're not supporting everything and having to be consistent with that system. That's the difference. I'm not undermining anybody. I'm expressing my views. You don't think my views are consistent with your system? I couldn't care less. My views are consistent with what God revealed. And that's what I believe in. And that's what we're going to die upon. That system of yours, it's a man-made system. It can change. It could be wrong. And that's essentially the argument against the so-called liberal Muslims. That's the argument against them. Because they're always about, what they're about is be consistent with a liberal order. What is that consistency going to get you? What reward are you going to benefit? And if you're not consistent with it, what are you going to lose? You're going to lose that someone's going to call you inconsistent. That's it. That is the loss. People will say, you're inconsistent. Well, all I have to do in order to cure that is to tell them, listen, I'm not operating by your laws and rules. I'm operating by these. If you want to know where I'm going, this is where I'm going. I have a predictable book right here that's telling us this is where we're heading. This is what we believe. Wherever the system allows for it, we go. Whatever the system promotes that our book doesn't promote, we're against it. That's it. The difference being, we're not undermining, we're not trying to harm anybody, but we have our beliefs. That's it. Tony says, does saying Amin after dua of Imam count if you don't understand anything? Yes, it does. Because you're intending to pray whatever he prayed. Are we closer to Christians or Jews, says Adam? Well, Christians have softer hearts according to the Quran, and they will therefore have better relations with us. Not all Christians. Obviously, the Crusaders were Christians. The election today is between Crusaders. It's between the Crusaders, and it's between Sodom and Gomorrah. That's how I view the Democratic Party, right? Morally speaking, they're Sodom and Gomorrah. And the other side are Crusaders. Pick your poison. Office siren says, my work is having an off-site where I will have to stay in the same hotel as my male coworkers. I'm hijabi and unmarried. Should I bring a mahram with me out of pocket? I believe that you should, because in our religion, the four schools of thought highly recommend, and if not, they obligate that when you travel, you take a mahram with you, with differences amongst them. Okay, but they do usually say this. So it is better for you to take a mahram whenever you travel. at least you'll be on the safer side of what the Sharia says. 1,000 caliber Phoenix, 1080 caliber Phoenix says, hey, everyone, please pray for my interview result to be positive. I need your dua. Well, you know what you should say from now on? Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir. Oh Allah, from what you have brought down of me of good, I'm in need of it. So keep saying that nonstop until you get the results. Is it halal to transact entertainment for children? Like a video game for children? Yeah, nothing wrong with that. What's halal of the content is halal. Children can play with toys, figures, virtual, digital. That's all halal. As for the techniques that make kids addicted, like Cocomelon, you're harming the kid like that. You know, Cocomelon, they broke it down to a science, right? They broke it down to a science where to keep the kid addicted. Well, that's a harm. What is a valid reason to become a raqi and pursue that science? I can't tell you anything about that world of jinn. And I know a raqi, but I don't get involved in it, to be honest with you. I don't want to pick a fight with a jinn, and I like to see the enemy that I have to fight. How do we know that ulama did not expand things in the religion or overcomplicate things? Like, did the early generations really get this specific and detailed in questions and usul? Well, our religion is passed on in mass. Our religion is passed on, not passed on by a small organization, which we would doubt and say, okay, there's just a few guys. What if they made a mistake? Our religion is not passed down by any organization. So our deen is passed down by, essentially it's organized as the chains of transmission that go back that are still alive are the chains of transmission of the four schools of thought. And these four madhabs, as we can see, there are hundreds upon thousands of people correcting and self-checking everything. Now, just because the companions didn't answer certain questions does not mean those answers should not have been answered. To give you an example, for example, like what foods can I trade usuriously and which foods can I not trade usuriously? Just to give an example. So usuriously means two things. Means one is more than the other, or that there's a distance between the two. So let's say, can I trade a pound of my green grapes for 2 pounds of red grapes? You can't do that, right? So there's certain foods that you can trade within the same genus, and certain foods you can't trade within the same genus. So that's the question that you have to ask, right? And at ta'am, al-ribawi, the ma yuqtatu wa yuddakhar, is that which you can survive on and you can save, or you can save. So that's what is ta'am ribawi. So these questions didn't come up in the time of the Sahaba. And as for if it's ta'am ghayr ribawi, food that is not treated as usurious, it's food that I can trade it with itself. My apples for your apples, for example. Different amounts. Like that. Not to say grapes, I just threw that out there, but and we're not going to get into the details, but that's the idea. The companions, they did talk about these things, but maybe at that time, they didn't even have certain foods that existed that people came upon later. So we have to categorize them. And the Prophet ﷺ gave us certain parameters. And so just because the Sahaba didn't discuss something doesn't mean it shouldn't have been discussed. Okay, what was the army like for the companions, right? Nothing. A bunch of you, go, you group of people, go use bow and arrow over here. You go ride horses over here. You pick up swords. You take spears. That's not going to be the army of today. It's going to be super sophisticated. So don't come and compare that era with this era. Our army is going to be far more complicated. Likewise, our law is far more complicated. Anytime you get people who are trying to move around the law, you end up having to have more laws. Yoav Gallant has been fired, according to the news. Thank you for that news. What's better, dhikr or salah on the Prophet? Salah on the Prophet is dhikr. So don't separate between salah and the Prophet or dhikr. We have to do some Quran, some istighfar, some salah on the Prophet, some dua, a little bit of everything. Is it appropriate for youth to debate issues of ikhtilaf in college, like aqidah and theology? I believe it's not. They just learn your belief, have your own belief, share the video with somebody, share the, back in the day it was a tape or a book, and leave it at that. Do not argue and waste your time. Is it wrong to be alone all the time and not want an active social life and not want friendship? That's not the way of Islam. We should be with the jama'ah. If you have a decent group of friends out there, you should be with them. We need a jama'ah. And part of... You need 100%. You need friends. You need a jama'ah. There's no doubt about that. What's better, dhikr? We had that one. Is it halal to go to university parties where there will only be eating and meeting, but there will be mixing? Let's reverse it. The eating and meeting, the eating and the food and the whole party has really one purpose, which is mixing. Okay? That's why you'll never see on the university campus an all-guys party, an all-women's party, unless they're gays and lesbians. But the whole purpose of these parties is, of course, shahawat, desires. Get your. Is there a party out there that's not, that the goal is not on that? It wouldn't be much of a party then, right? So you should avoid environments like that without a doubt. Any thoughts on the imam's crisis? We talked about that, so you can rewind and see that. There's not much to think about in the first place. It's as clear as day, that fitna. What is the meaning of the hadith saying Allah will put a foot in hellfire? It means that from the hellfire, that which will be stomped out. And we do not say that Allah has limbs. Allah is ahad. And this from the sifat, or from the narrations that are mutashabih. And therefore, we just affirm what Allah Ta'ala has affirmed for himself in Surah Al-Ikhlas. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ. Allah is one in himself. So therefore, does not have limbs, nor is he in a location. Okay? As the Tahawi Creed says, is not mutahayyiz fi jiha. He's not limited in a location. I saw on the end times hadith, someone makes dua to Allah and Allah replies, make dua for you and your family, but not for the masses, for they have enraged me. Have you heard this hadith? No. I don't see any dua that says, do not make dua for the ummah. We make dua for the ummah all the time. Ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the right path. You're making dua for the ummah the whole time. Okay? Right? Ladies and gentlemen, we have to stop here. Stop pretty early today, but that's okay. We have a long day ahead of us here at Safina Society, and we need to go. Thank you all very much. We'll see you tomorrow. See you tomorrow with the results, and maybe we might not have results tomorrow. Maybe some things get wacky, just like the Bush and Gore elections of 2000. Things got wacky. We didn't have a result for 6 weeks. So we'll see what happens. Jazakumullah khairan, everybody. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawasaw bil haqq, wa tawasaw bis sabr, wassalamu alaykum.